Get ready for Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Listen in as Doug and Amy provide helpful tips on how to get ready for anything that comes your way. And now, your hosts, Doug and Amy.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're in studio today with a special guest coming in later in the show who's going to be talking about firearm safety. It's going to be a rip-roaring topic as we get into all sorts of things that you can do to be better prepared for whatever comes next. We have been on the air now for several weeks, and our listener base is growing. I think that we've got some really great responses, not only from the website, but also from the emails that we've been receiving. People on Facebook and Twitter have been piping up over the last couple weeks.
That's right, Doug. And if any of our listeners have missed any, if they listen today, just absolutely love what they hear, and maybe are interested in looking back, listening to our past broadcast, they can go to readyradio.net and check those out. And also, we have a new feature on readyradio.net. They can go and put their email list in there and receive some emails.
That's right. If you sign up for our email list, not only will you receive news from Ready Radio that will keep you in touch with things that are going on in the world today, but you'll also receive special offers from TruPrep on a monthly basis. And one of the things that I know that they're rolling out this week is a gift buying guide, which I think we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, so everyone can be thinking about what they would like to be getting for this Christmas season. I know that, Amy, I know you have children. I've got two very small ones. My little three-year-old and my five-year-old are very excited for Christmas this year, and we've rolled out the tree from Thanksgiving and started decorating the house and baking gingerbread men, which my son gets enormous joy out of biting the heads off of them.
I'm sure. All little boys like to do that, I think. Have you seen the gingerbread ninjas? Have you seen those?
No.
Oh, my gosh. You've got to find them. You can make little gingerbread ninjas.
That's awesome.
It really is.
That's almost better than gingerbread zombies.
Sure. I don't know if I've seen a gingerbread zombie, but
they look just like the other ones. They just have little sadder expressions on them.
the melted icing kind of dripping off of them.
There you go. We have quite a few holiday traditions, but, you know, talking about kids and getting them ready for what's coming next, and in light of our special guest today, Mr. Podowitz, when my kids were very young, I knew that I was going to be introducing them to firearms at a young age and that there's going to be a part of their lives because it's a part of my life, and it has been since I was young. I was first time I shot a gun, I was in fifth grade. My mom got me a 12-gauge when I was turned 12, so I could go deer hunting and bird hunting with my friends. And it's always just been a part of my experience, and I knew I wanted to raise my children that way.
Yeah, that's awesome, Doug. I think the thing I'm very excited about this show today is I was brought up completely on the opposite end of the spectrum. I'm one of five kids. My father never owned guns. My mother, she never owned guns, and we never had them in the house ever. So it wasn't until I was an adult that I was actually introduced to firearms. When I married my husband, he's a big hunter, and it was a little odd for me just knowing that he had his rifles in the house. And you know, of course, my kids were a little bit older at that point, but it's interesting. I think we're going to have a really great discussion today that I'm very excited about, looking at the views from both sides, you know, from you being raised around guns all your life, and me and my family not.
See, I have really had an awakening experience, and this is kind of a funny story, so I'll bore you with it for a little while. I had grown up around guns, and it had never been a big deal to me because they were just tools. They were just part of the household, and I didn't bother them. And if I needed a tool, I would ask permission, and I'd do what I needed to do with it, same as I would a hammer or anything else. But I remember when I first met my wife, and she was staying with me, I had a cat. It was a large tabby cat that I had trained to say the word no.
Okay.
The cat would just come up to you and go, no, like that.
That's kind of weird.
It was very weird, but it was a very cool cat. So one night, it was late at night, we were settling in and Tara was half asleep. And next thing you know, the cat sneaks up on her and says, no. And she flipped out because she thought there was somebody in the apartment. Oh, there's somebody in the apartment. There's somebody in the apartment. Get your gun. I'm like, what? So, my 12-gauge was buried in the closet. And she's like, well, what are you doing with it in there? What if there's been someone in the apartment? What would we do? And it dawned on me. Mm-hmm. What would I do? Mm-hmm. So I talked to one of my friends where I was working, and he wrote for Shotgun News, and he was a big guy into handguns, and he said, well, you know what you need is you need a 1911. So he helped me buy my first handgun. I got it was at the time called a Georgia firearms license. Now it's a Georgia weapons permit, mm-hmm. but I got my license to carry it, and I started learning how it worked, how to clean it, how to take it apart, how to reload for it, the best methods of carry. And my wife learned to shoot it as well, and it grew from there. And it grew into, I would call it a passion, not an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm sure others would disagree. I'll have to call your wife on that.
There might be some who would put it in other terms. But handguns really became the focus for me. And because they do represent, to me, it is more than just a firearm. It is a badge of a free person. A free person can carry a handgun where they need to, mm-hmm. whereas a subject cannot.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really our main focus for anyone who's just listening today. Our main focus is preparedness. A lot of it that we focus around is emergency preparedness and, you know, being robbed or, you know, anything along those lines. Anytime your life is threatened, I would consider that an emergency. And our guest today, I'm very excited to bring him in. I'm very excited to learn from him today. And Doug, you actually, you know this gentleman. Why don't you let us know who you brought in today?
Matt Podowitz is a personal friend of mine. We've known each other for many years now. He lives here in Atlanta. He's a certified NRA firearm safety instructor. He is a certified safety instructor from GeorgiaCarry.org, which is a great organization if you're interested in learning about the laws in Georgia. And they have done tremendous work into changing the laws here to make sure that everybody can carry firearms where they should be able to. That's www.GeorgiaCarry.org. He is a refuse to be a victim instructor, which I'm sure he'll tell us what that means in a few moments. He works on crime prevention, firearm safety. He has a blog. He does volunteer crime prevention and firearm safety training. One of his more unique classes teaches people, even people who don't own guns, how to talk to their kids about firearms. And that's why I invited him today, is because I know that there is a large segment of our listeners who are firearms aficionados, but then there's a large segment who is not. And no matter where you fall in this dynamic, it's important that you be able to talk to your kids so that they are better prepared, safe, and knowledgeable about the subject.
Awesome. Well, welcome, Matt. I don't know. Do we have the little button where we can hit like the clap button, or shall we do it manually?
No.
We'll do it manually. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Your listeners can't see it, but I'm actually blushing. Doug, Amy, I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today. You hit the nail on the head, both of you, a moment ago by talking about preparedness. You've spoken in your previous shows about how people can be prepared for big emergencies. I thought that your previous show on hurricanes and how to be prepared for those was absolutely fantastic. But the reality is that our kids need to be prepared for a lot of things that they may encounter that could pose a potential danger to them. Listening to what you each said about your backgrounds, Doug, you growing up with guns and them being prevalent and everywhere and you're having access to them and being a tool, just something that was around the house, is very interesting and very different from my background. Amy, listening to your experience growing up, not having really had any exposure to guns until your later life, really strikes a chord with me, because here's the reality. Whether, Amy, we're talking about your kids who might have grown up without any real exposure to guns, or Doug, if we're talking about your children who have already handled them from what conversations you and I have had, both your kids need to know how to be prepared if they encounter a gun outside of responsible adult supervision. Now, this is a point where some of your listeners may actually reach for the volume knob and say, that's not me. I don't own guns. I don't really socialize with anybody mm-hmm. who owns guns. My kids will never come into contact with guns.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that's not true. In preparation for coming here today, I went back through my media archive, and I found 27 stories from around the Southeast of children coming into contact with firearms outside of responsible adult supervision. They found them on the floor of movie theaters. They found them in bathrooms.
Really?
Really.
Oh, wow.
They found them on a ride at Disneyland. Disney World. Disneyland's out in California. They found them on the street. They found them in classmates' book bags. These are all instances where children came into contact with firearms and didn't necessarily know how to be safe, how to react safely. And depending on which study you read, and a lot of people will argue with me about this, in the United States every year, dozens of kids die in firearms-related accidents. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about accidents. I'm not talking about a child deliberately shooting another child or an adult deliberately shooting a child. I'm talking about an accident where a child picks up a handgun that some adult has negligently left access to. And because the children are ignorant about what guns are and what they do, actually pointed it at someone and squeezed the trigger.
You'd almost think that that they might even mistake it for a toy or something along those lines.
Absolutely. Something that we'll talk about in a little bit is the prevalence of gun toys and gun analog sports, where the toy gun is almost indistinguishable from a real one. And of those 27 stories I just mentioned, I know at least one of them was a shooting that occurred when a child picked up what they thought was an airsoft pistol, but in fact was a loaded .22.
I'm excited to hear more about this. This is going to be an excellent topic for us to talk about. But we're going to take a quick break. And you are listening to Ready Radio on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town, and we'll be right back.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back. Welcome, everybody. We're in studio today with Mr. Matt Podowitz, who is discussing firearm safety for children. I'm Doug. Amy is here with me. And hopefully, we're going to have some really good information for you in this upcoming segment. Matt, you were discussing before our commercial break that there are numerous instances every year where children find loaded firearms and that there are children who are injured because of this. What is some age-appropriate information that all parents should be giving their children?
I wish there was just one answer to that question, Doug, but the reality is the issues are different depending on how old the children are. How old are your kids right now?
My two are 3 years old and 5 years old.
Okay, that's actually a great age group to talk about first. With very young children, it's necessary to assume that they don't really understand guns, that they don't really know what guns are, even if they've grown up in a household where guns are present, even if mommy or daddy have tried to take the time to familiarize them with it. And that's simply because at this age, let's call it pre-K through about second grade or third grade, children don't have the emotional maturity to understand what a gun does, what it's capable of doing to another human being, and they can't relate cause and effect. I remember at one point I was printing out a black and white picture of a semi-automatic pistol for a class I was teaching, and my son, who was about two at the time, said, "Daddy, can I get it?" Because he loved pulling things off the printer as they came out. And he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he said, "Daddy, what is this?" And I looked at him, because I talked to him about guns before, and I said, "Max, what do you think that is?" And he looked at the piece of paper, and he looked at the piece of paper, and finally he rotated it into the portrait position and said, "It's the letter L."
Oh, funny.
So even though my son at that age knew what a gun was, because we'd had the conversation about it, he just didn't relate the image of a pistol to this potentially dangerous thing that I talked to him about. So with kids that age, I think there is one and really only one message to give them. And that is, if you see a gun, doesn't matter, is it a real gun? Is it a toy gun? Is it bright orange, or is it pink, or is it black, or is it silver? Is it daddy's gun or mommy's gun? Whatever gun you might encounter, if you see a gun, there are four things that you need to do. Stop what you're doing, for starters. If you were digging through the closet and you found it, just stop what you're doing. Don't touch it. Go somewhere else, leave the room, and then find an adult, preferably your mom or dad, but someone that you know, and tell them what you found. Stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult. That is a very simple message, but it is a life-saving message for children of this age, even if parents have spent time with them familiarizing them with guns. Why? Because they can't be counted on to act the way they do in front of you with a gun when they are outside of your direct supervision.
Right.
There's a great resource for parents available. It comes from the NRA, which is not everybody's favorite organization. So before people turn off the radio again, let me say that this has nothing to do with gun politics. But the NRA spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars working with educators, early childhood reading specialists, pediatricians to put together the Eddie Eagle Gun Safe Program. And this program is comprised of a video and workbooks and parent and teacher guides. It really helps parents educate their children in that very simple message. If you see a gun, stop, don't touch it, leave the area, leave the room, and tell an adult that you know or trust what you found. And that message has saved literally dozens of children's lives.
We'll have to put up a link for sure for that. Is that something that you would actually go to the NRA?
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. Well, we'll I'm happy to provide you with a link. And by the way, I confirmed this with them when I started talking about the program. They sell the materials at cost. This isn't a fundraiser or a moneymaker. They do it as a community service because, like most gun owners, we all care about children's safety.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, actually, our listeners, if you go to readyradio.net, if this is something that's if you even if it's not just for your children, if you have nieces or nephews, if you have grandchildren, if there's any child out there that you know or maybe like, this would be something I think would be an excellent program. Heck, stick it in their stocking. Might be a good stocking stuffer.
The materials that they provide are really excellent. I've seen the Eddie Eagle materials. They have also a wide range of different things that you can procure to get your kids or your extended family interested in this. But that brings up another interesting point. How do you talk to somebody who doesn't want their kids to know anything about guns? They just do the hey, look, my kids are not going to know about this. I don't want them to have to think about it. I want them to have a real childhood where this is not a part of it.
Doug, that's a great question, and I have to talk a little bit about my own background in order to answer it. Amy, like you, I grew up in a household that didn't have guns, but even more so, my household, guns were a forbidden topic. We didn't talk about guns. I couldn't ask questions about guns. I couldn't have gun toys. So by the time I was 4 or 5, what do you think was the most interesting topic in the world to me?
I would say guns.
I'd say you're right. And that continued through my elementary school years. And I had opportunities to familiarize myself with guns as I got older and as I started having friends who had access to them, whether they were BB guns, we didn't have airsoft in those days, or their 22s. And I will tell you that I am lucky that I didn't injure myself or someone else in that process of familiarizing myself with this topic I was so curious about simply because I'd been told it was taboo. I would say that no matter how parents feel about guns, like them, don't like them, no matter whether they think that they would ever own a gun, they have to talk about this topic with their children. And I'll give you a parallel. Depending on which study you read, between a third and a half of American households have a gun in them. Okay? There are between 100 and 300 million privately owned firearms in the United States. And Doug, I know you aspire to own about half of them, but that actually does leave a whole lot of them out on the street, so to speak. With those kinds of numbers, guns are as prevalent a potential risk to children's safety as the prescription medicine in the medicine cabinet, as the dishwasher detergent under the sink, and as the laundry detergent in the laundry room. The three of us here are parents. Is there anything that we wouldn't do to help educate our children about a potential risk to their safety?
Yeah, it's absolutely necessary, and it's so important, too, that I don't know. I guess I feel like anybody who's listening today, and if it's something that you've never even really considered talking to your kids about, don't put it off, because one of the things, you know, whenever you do, you hear so much out there, and it's very likely you might just kind of forget what you're hearing. Do it tonight. Just make a point to sit down and talk to your kids tonight. You talked, Matt, a little bit about kind of the younger kids. I have my youngest is 15.
Okay.
So I have a 15 and 16 year old, and then my older kids are young 20s.
Okay.
So, you know, that's sort of a different topic there. But as far as like my teenagers, do you have a different way of maybe talking to teenagers about guns?
Absolutely. And middle schoolers as well. Those tweeners. Excuse me. Before you even get to middle school, your tweeners, the kids that are older than, say, third grade and are not yet in seventh grade and moving up into middle school and into high school, because the messages are really different even between them and the teenagers. With those tweeners, so let's again say fourth, fifth, sixth grades, the messaging and the issues are different. Number one, kids at that age may already have access to guns. They may have access to their family's guns. They may live in households that participate in shooting sports. They may even have their own guns. And for them, you can't just say, stop, don't touch, leave the area, tell an adult, because, well, honestly, their parents are telling them it's okay in many cases for you to have access to guns. For the children of that age of parents who don't have guns, it's also important to keep in mind that their friends might. Mm-hmm. So the potential access to guns in that fourth, fifth, sixth age range is much higher. The second is that gun toys are really prevalent at this age range. I'm not going to say that kindergartners and third graders don't play with guns, mm-hmm. but that fourth, fifth, sixth age range, that's where you often see children getting these gun analog toys, mm-hmm. paintball, airsoft, yes. and all the variants out there that are so realistic that you can't tell the difference. I'm not actually doing it, but if I were to hold up a Glock 19 and then a Glock 19 airsoft, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference just by looking at them. And as I said earlier, we've had instances of children of this age picking up a real gun, thinking that it was just another gun toy like the one that they had. And instead of somebody going, ow, a little plastic pellet hit me, there's somebody lying on the floor bleeding. So helping kids differentiate between real guns and toy guns at this age is very important. And driving home the message of, if you are not 100% sure, you don't touch it.
Right.
Ask. And then the last thing at this age, by this age, kids are watching PG-rated movies. They're watching probably far more television than any of us as parents would like them to watch. And they're seeing a lot of really poorly communicated gun myths in these movies. Let me ask you this. Last action movie you took your kids to, the hero got shot. What did the hero do?
He was just fine.
He went, ow, and he went on and kept right. doing heroic things. Yep. All right. Then the hero or somebody else shot one of the bad guys. What happened?
Flew through the wall and then landed on the floor and were down.
And they were down. They weren't screaming. They weren't bleeding. Movies and television present these highly unrealistic images of what happens when somebody actually gets shot. And there have been children who have picked up a real gun and shot someone knowing that the gun was real, but not having an emotional or intellectual understanding of what damage it could do.
I like to think about what impact this has on hunting, because a child who is introduced to hunting and knows what it's like to actually shoot a squirrel or, you know, a moose, whatever we have available, that gives them a whole different perspective on wound characteristics, on the actual pain and suffering an animal goes through when you shoot them, and all of the encompassing problems and realities of shooting situations.
Doug, you've hit the nail on the head there. For this age range, one of the most valuable things that a parent can do, whether or not they own guns, whether or not they like guns, is help their children understand what guns really do. And after the break, if you'd like, I'll share with you another resource that can help parents do that in a way that doesn't require their children to shoot an animal or require you to show them really bloody autopsy photos.
And you're right. I hear that music too. We're coming up on our break. You're listening to Ready Radio, sponsored by True Prep, the emergency preparedness store on News Talk 1160, The Talk of the Town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
We're back. You're listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. We're in studio with Matt Podowitz today, who's talking about kids and gun safety with us. As we left for our commercial break, Matt, you were telling me about some other options besides taking Junior out to shoot Bambi on how to teach them the best way to know what's going to happen in a real shooting situation.
Absolutely, Doug. There is a video that was produced by the New Hampshire Coalition for Firearm Safety, which is a really interesting marriage of organizations on both sides of the gun debate. They all got together and they put together a video called How to Stay Safe Around Guns, the Middle School Edition. Why Middle School Edition? Well, that's the group that we're talking about, but I'll explain why I pointed that out in just a moment. This video runs about 17 minutes. You can find it on YouTube. You can download it from Ruger.com. Ruger hosts that as part of their participation in that organization.
And we will have it on ReadyRadio.net as well.
Happy to provide you a link to that. And this video covers a lot of real-life scenarios where children of this age might encounter firearms outside of adult supervision. It also talks about what guns really do. One of my favorite segments, and I'll describe it very quickly, has three kids of about this tweener age sitting at an outdoor gun range with an instructor. The instructor picks up a soda can and walks up to one of the little boys who's sitting there. There's a girl and two boys, and holds the soda can up next to the boy's arm and says, "This is about the same thickness as your arm." And the little boy goes, "Yes." So the instructor walks downrange, places the can on a shooting stand, puts a wooden board in front of it, walks back to the line, loads up a .22 caliber rifle, a little tiny shell, takes aim, fires. The round goes through the board, hits the soda can, and it just explodes. He walks back downrange, grabs the can, what's left of it, walks back up to the little boy and says, "This is about the size of your arm, right?" You can see that the child understood.
Very poignant.
Absolutely. And there are other good examples like that throughout the video.
Yeah, kids really are good with visuals, so that's awesome.
Absolutely. You'd mentioned teenagers before, and I do want to cover off on that
lovely fun teenagers,
because teenagers are definitely a different group that have very different issues and need very different messaging when it comes to firearms. I would say that there are probably five critical things that a teenager really needs to know about guns, and the most important one is simply this: guns are never a way to express emotion. Responsible human beings do not pick up a gun and use it to express the fact that they're happy, that they're sad, that they're scared, that they're angry.
I think it's very important that you added the word happy there, mm-hmm. because a lot of people don't realize that that is, again, a emotional state of mind that is going to impact the way that you responsibly handle a firearm.
Absolutely. In East Atlanta, where I used to live a few years ago, on, I believe it was either Christmas Eve or New Year's, I can't remember. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was New Year's. The fireworks started going off, and apparently some folks in the neighborhood started firing guns up in the air to celebrate. What goes up must come down, and one of those rounds came through the roof of a church, struck a four-year-old in the head, and the child died.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. It was That's a tragedy, so sad. And it was ultimately avoidable. Mm-hmm. In that case, guns were being used to express happiness and excitement. But guns ultimately, again, critical message for teens, are never a way to express emotion. Second thing that they need to know is that it really is okay to tell an adult about somebody having a gun that shouldn't. And that might be situational. It might be somebody has a gun and it's their gun and they're on the shooting team, but they're talking about using it in a way that's not appropriate. Or there's an older kid who's brought a gun to school and, well, child is probably not supposed to have a gun at school under any circumstances. It's really important because children at this age, teenagers, are often afraid of being considered a snitch.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
They fear being cast out because they tattletaled. But by the time a child, and again, teenager in particular, has made the decision to bring a gun to school, there is a good chance that someone is going to get hurt. And something I ask teenagers when I talk to them about this in a lecture I give, and they say, no, I don't want to be a snitch, I say, would you rather be a snitch or would you rather be a hero? Mm-hmm. Would you rather be a snitch or would you rather know that you could have stopped somebody from being hurt or killed because you knew they had a gun and you knew they had brought it to school and you decided not to tell anyone? The third thing, and this is a whole long topic that we can talk about in great detail separately, is even for teenagers, having a plan is key to survival. I know that's something that you all preach very well during your radio show. The reality is teenagers wind up in situations where guns get used. It could be an active shooter at a school. It could be somebody pulling out a firearm at a shopping mall and starting to squeeze the trigger. It could be they're visiting mom or dad in their office and somebody starts shooting in that office. For teenagers, thinking about this unpleasant circumstance in advance, what would I do, is one of the best things they can do to prepare for that possibility. And parents telling your teenagers to think about it and helping them think about it, no matter how unpalatable a topic this is, can literally mean the difference between life and death should that happen.
I think that's an incredibly important point to make. And we talk about preparedness and planning all the time, but you can't just prepare in a vacuum. You can't prepare alone. You have a family. Your family is there with you. You have an extended group of friends who are going to be there with you. These people need to be all, if not on exactly the same page, at least brought on board so that we are talking about these situations, whether it be an active shooter situation, whether it be an ice storm, whether it be a nuclear meltdown. It doesn't matter. When the zombies show up, you got to have a plan. You've got to have people who understand what you're thinking about, what you're doing, and no man is an island. One of my favorite quotes after having come back from Alaska is that I think it was Aristotle who said that to live by yourself without the polis, without society, you have to either be a god or a beast. And I've learned in my life that I'm neither.
Good one. Well, let's move on. Did you say there were five?
Yeah, two more very, very quick messages for teenagers.
What does she got for us?
Every teenager should know how to handle a gun safely. And I'm not talking about actually going to the range and shooting it. I'm not talking about carrying a gun, but which is the business end of the gun? Where is the trigger? What happens if you squeeze the trigger? For two very simple reasons. One is that if your teenager encounters a gun and they're curious about it, they're probably going to pick it up. And if they don't know how to handle it safely, then the risk of them or someone else being hurt increases exponentially. The second reason is, unfortunately, when it comes to teenagers, teenagers hand things to each other. I was in high school myself, and I literally had a fellow student walk up and hand me a gun in the parking lot. Hey, Matt, look at what I have. It's important that they know these three very simple rules of gun safety. One is always keep a gun pointed in a safe direction. What's a safe direction? Well, not at me is a good start, but really not at anything that you would not want to see a hole suddenly appear in, and that might be a person or it might be a thing. The second one is that guns don't go off by themselves. It fell and it just went off. Really kind of doesn't happen with any great frequency. The trigger has to be actuated in order for a gun to discharge. So keeping your finger off the trigger, away from the trigger, is a really important thing to know.
One of the most common excuses I've heard in my life is, I was cleaning my gun and it just went off.
There you go. No, something, somewhere, somehow, the trigger got actuated. And then the last one is, a gun is always loaded. Even if you know it's not, even if you've just unloaded it personally, a gun is always loaded. And again, this is for teenagers who own guns. This is for teenagers who don't own guns. This is for teenagers who come from families that would never own a gun. It's important for parents to convey those three simple messages.
Those are rules for everybody, particularly people who are in stores looking to buy a gun.
Yes.
And please keep that in mind, that you don't sweep the poor gentleman who just handed you the gun to look at, and that you should have good trigger control whenever you're handling a firearm. This is not something just for teenagers. This is for adults, too, who far too frequently forget those basic rules.
Absolutely. And that brings us to this last point for teenagers. Sometimes the greatest potential for harm comes from trying to help. Last season, I believe, on Glee, which is not a program that I watch regularly, apparently there was an episode where one of the characters had a gun and was not wanting to hold it anymore and was very frightened, and another character on the show tried to help them put it down by taking it away from them, and the gun discharged twice. Teenagers may find themselves in situations where somebody has a gun, not because they intend to do harm, but because they want to put it down. And I have to say this, babysitting classes, and I don't know if either of you, well, I don't know, Amy, if you have if you have girls, but if any of them are certified babysitters, the message they get during their babysitting training is, if that cute, adorable little five-year-old ever walks out of the bedroom and is holding a gun, you get out of the house and you leave the five-year-old to their own devices.
Oh, wow.
That's not going to work for most people. I personally interviewed my 16-year-old sister and a bunch of other kids, teenage girls who babysit, and they said, no way would I ever do that.
Right.
And so ultimately, it's really important for teenagers to know that what they don't know can hurt them, and they really shouldn't try to intervene unless they know what they're doing. And if they don't, the best they can do is apply those rules, just try and keep that gun pointed in a safe direction, and yell for help. So there are some great resources out there to help parents communicate these messages to teenagers, and one of them is Staying Safe Around Guns, the high school edition, which I mentioned a little bit earlier. That is a 22-minute video, also on YouTube, also downloadable from Ruger. So we've talked about the kids. Let's talk very, very briefly about the parents, though. And this applies to parents who own guns, parents who don't. There are things that, as parents, we need to do to educate our children and ourselves about gun safety. Number one is, parents should always feel comfortable asking, is there a gun where my child plays? Is there a gun where my kid's going to be playing? Better that you know that it's there. I will tell you that most responsible gun owners will not object to that question. They will not object to follow-up questions about where is it stored.
Right.
And most responsible gun owners are not going to be upset if the person says, you know, I'm not comfortable with my child playing in a house with a gun that might not be secured the way it needs to be secured. Can Timmy come over to my house instead? The second is the same three rules of safe gun handling that I talked about teenagers needing to know. So do parents. I can point to two newspaper articles where a child actually brought a gun home from school and the parent had no idea how to get it away from them safely. And then the third is, if you own guns, please store them responsibly. Please make sure that they are either stored unloaded, broken down if possible, where kids in particular can't get access to them, or if you own defensive firearms, which by definition have to be kept in a ready-to-use situation, use a specialized gun storage device that allows you fast access to the firearm if you need to use it as a weapon, but that a kid is not going to stumble across or be able to open without your supervision and without you there.
Extremely important things to consider for every gun owner and every parent. We are coming up on another commercial break. Thank you all for listening. You're listening to Ready Radio, sponsored by True Prep, the emergency preparedness store on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.
And now, back to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy.
Welcome back. I really hope that if you're listening now, I hope that you've caught this whole broadcast with Matt. He has just given us a plethora of excellent information. And Matt, just kind of a follow-up question. You've told us about a lot of links. You've told us about a lot of ways to teach our kids about gun safety. Is teaching something that you personally do?
I am certified to teach professionally, but I don't actually teach as a firearms training professional. I teach exclusively as a community service, and there are three courses in particular that I always do for free whenever I have the chance. The first is a 30-minute lecture for parents called Why and How to Talk with Your Kids About Gun Safety, Even If You Don't Own Guns, and that covers off on many of the topics that we have talked about on the show today, albeit in a lot more detail. The second one is Five Things Every Teen Should Know About Gun Safety, and that is a 30-minute lecture targeted directly at teenagers. Boy, that was a poor choice of words now, wasn't it? That was designed specifically for teenagers that really covers off on those five things that they should know. Mm-hmm. The last one is not firearms related. It is crime prevention related, and I am certified to teach a crime prevention seminar called Refuse to Be a Victim, and that is for adults and older children, and it really doesn't talk about guns much. It's really more about how to reduce your profile and the chance that you could become a victim of crime. And if you find yourself unable to escape a criminal encounter, what is the best way for you to get out of it alive?
Yeah. So will we be seeing you at True Prep?
You will. I'm very, very pleased to say that True Prep will be adding all three of those classes for free to the True Prep University lineup.
That's exciting.
And when are these classes going to become available, Matt?
I understand that you're going to have some course lists posted on Thursday, and I believe that we can start teaching them as early as the beginning of next year.
Very good. Well, Matt, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been fantastic to have you in studio. You've provided so much information. I encourage everybody to check out the webpage over at trueprep.com to see when the classes are going to be available so they can come and listen to you in person. Also, to send any questions you have to readyradio.net, and if we have any questions that are for you in particular, we'll forward them on to you.
Thank you, and thank you both very much for having me today. I really appreciate it.
You've been a great guest. Thanks for coming out. We appreciate your time.
And now I think it's time for that special segment we do every week, Amy, where we talk about the True Prep product of the week.
Product of the week.
That's right. I think that this week, given the information that we just got, the thing we should highlight, really, instead of being a particular product you can buy, should be the mindsets that you can acquire by having these classes. Not only the classes that Matt's going to be teaching, but the full array of classes that are going to be available at True Prep starting in January. I heard that they're going to have full course schedules, not only of just little individual topics, but a progressive program you can take to learn comprehensive knowledge in different subjects like canning and gardening, firearms modifications, firearm safety, and even things like paracording.
There you go. And, you know, True Prep, it is a brick-and-mortar emergency preparedness store. And one of the things, of course, they do have the classes, but going in and visiting and just kind of looking around and seeing and feeling and touching and looking and asking questions about emergency preparedness is just an excellent way to learn. I mean, just walking into True Prep, it's just almost like a little class field trip on its own at times.
Well, their knowledgeable staff really does help that way to guide people who have not had previous experience. So when you go up to their Berkey or their water bob or whatever else that we've mentioned over the last few weeks, you have someone who can show it to you, take it out of the box, you can look at it over and know what you're getting a lot more than you can from just looking over their extensive website.
Yes, and I know that emergency preparedness can be very overwhelming for people who are interested in maybe new to the whole concept, because I know there's a lot of people that say, you know, there really truly is a need out there, I'm just not really sure where to start. And let me tell you, if you go on YouTube for a day, you're instantly overwhelmed.
Yeah, that's that's for sure. I'm looking at these classes, and I'm really excited to take some of them. I want to take the fermented pickle class that Mr. Mark Curtis is going to be teaching. I am looking forward to that because I have no experience there. Are there some classes looking at the list that you think would be good?
Well, heck yeah. There's all kinds of classes. There's the, well, of course, just the intro to preparedness class, which I think is an excellent class just for the intro aspect of it.
And also looking at some of the paracording classes is something else that I have no clue what I'm doing. I remember you telling me that I can crochet my own shoes out of paracord.
That's right.
But hopefully I can learn how to do it at one of these classes.
You never know.
Those size 13 5Es are kind of hard to shod.
Right. Yeah, we'll make sure we get some bright color ones for you.
I think pink would be just right for me, don't you?
Actually, yes.
There we go.
Yes. So it would match the pink shirt that you're wearing today.
I could find them in the dark then.
You could. We'll make them neon.
There we go.
I like it. Well, let's talk a little bit, Doug. With True Prep, of course, they are the emergency preparedness retail store. I heard something about True Prep buying guide. What's that all about?
Yes. This is something that I'm actually really excited about. I got to contribute. They approached me and said, hey, would you like to have a little bit of say here? And I went through their store and picked out a couple of products that I thought would be really good stocking stuffers. The first was the Exotech Fire Starter. I thought that was a good choice. There are a whole bunch of different products that are under $50 that you can have for stocking stuffers, for those little gifts in between. But it's more than just a gift, because you could go buy another Xbox controller, or you could get somebody a tie with Santa Claus with a blinking nose on them. But is that really going to make a difference in their lives? Here you can get gifts that teach people about preparedness and gets them excited about the mainstream idea of being ready for little things that come up. Having a fire starter on your keychain just in case you had to start a fire somewhere. What a great idea to have with you at all times. And it makes people feel comfortable with the idea of starting to prepare. It'll also get them to come into the store. And when your friends and family are in True Prep walking around, they may start to see what you think is important in life and being prepared and being ready for things.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, True Prep, they have some meetup groups, which that meet up, I think, about twice a month at both locations. And I know that in Roswell, they're actually doing an emergency preparedness white elephant gift Christmas party, which sounds like a lot of fun. Are you familiar with the white elephant parties, how that works?
Do you actually have to procure a white elephant for this?
No, you really don't.
Oh.
It's a game. Have you seriously never played the game before?
I have no idea what you're talking
about. You really? Oh my gosh. Well, Doug, it's so simple. Basically, you have a bunch of people that bring in a gift wrapped, and you put it in the center, and then everybody has to draw a number. So
I'm already out of the running because I don't know how to wrap gifts.
Bring your wife. She'll help you. But so let's say that there's 10 people. Everybody would draw a number, and the person that draws number one would go first, and you open a gift, and you get to keep it until the next person. Till person number two, they can either steal your gift or go to the pile and get another gift and open it up. So then person number three can either steal whatever's opened or they can go to the pile and open another gift. Let me tell you, it gets ruthless. When there's something that somebody wants and they're stealing it from each other, it's a lot of fun. But in Roswell, they're actually doing the gifts are our preparedness mindset. So, you know, different little prepper gifts.
It sounds like really good training for the apocalypse, taking other people's stuff and getting ready.
Right. It sounds like fun.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot of fun. And, you know, that's something else that's really important. This is one of the beautiful things, and I'm so glad that True Prep is sponsoring us and giving us the opportunity to talk to everybody. But, you know, you can go online and buy everything that there is on True Prep, not even just from True Prep's website, but there are retailers everywhere that sell this stuff. But the difference between this store and everything else out there is the fact that you can come in and meet people who are of the same mindset. You can learn from them. You can become a part of a community. And True Prep is reaching out to the community here in Atlanta and hopefully soon across all of Georgia and maybe even nationwide. We can only hope that we can grow this sense of togetherness as we prepare for a future that is uncertain.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff. That's good stuff. Let me ask you one last question. With a True Prep buying guide, you mentioned that there are different things. I mean, how is it an actual guide?
It goes through a list of different people who work in the store and who are familiar with the store and their suggestions on what would make good gift ideas.
So is this different price ranges, broken down in price ranges?
I believe everything is under $50 on the buying guide, and you can look at what, for instance, Ron, one of their store employees, would say would be a good gift ideas. I know that we're coming up to the end of our segment, and this has been a very fast-paced and exciting show this week. We are looking forward to hearing from all of you over the next couple of days for next week's show. Send us some comments to info@readyradio.net. Have a good week, and thank you all.
You've been listening to Ready Radio with Doug and Amy. It's emergency preparedness for everyone. Brought to you by TruPrep. For all your prepping needs, visit TruPrep online at truprep.com or visit a TruPrep store in Roswell or Marietta. Tune in each week as Doug and Amy get you ready for anything that comes your way. Ready Radio, Thursdays at noon, only on News Talk 1160, the talk of the town.